It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Now, failure, adversity, trauma, they're things we mostly try to avoid in life. Though we also like to remind ourselves that if and when we experience them, we'll come out the other side, hopefully as better people, wiser, stronger, with more appreciation of life. Is there data, though, to support that conventional wisdom? Our next guest has been studying that question. Aranda Jayawardena is an associate professor in the Department of Psychology at Wake Forest University. He co-wrote a piece about growing from adversity on the website The Conversation. Aranda, welcome to Central Time.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
We'll get into some of your research and some of the difficulties of doing this kind of research in just a bit. But why did you want to tackle this problem of whether adversity and maybe even trauma can make us stronger, as is the popular idea?
No, that's a great question. So personally, I first got interested in this question of whether adversity could make you stronger when I was a graduate student at the University of Pennsylvania. And I was doing my dissertation looking at survivors of the Sri Lankan Civil War. So there's a long-standing civil war in the north and east of the country that ended around 2009. And part of my dissertation research involved working with displaced populations there, looking at their mental health. And I was interested in looking not only at how they're struggling with, significant psychological problems, but to what extent were people resilient in the face of a type of chronic stressors that they experience in Sri Lanka. So I started looking at the literature and came across work on post-traumatic growth, this idea that stressful life events, traumatic life events can sometimes lead to positive psychological changes. And I thought this was very interesting. It resonated with some of my intuitions of how sometimes stressful life events can make you learn things about yourself, can build personal strength. But then as I spent more and more time with the literature, I realized that there are some interesting ways in which they're measuring post-traumatic growth. They may not be the most methodological, rigorous assessments. And then that led to my current research program, trying to evaluate the methodological limitations of this work.
It seems difficult because you ideally you'd want a before and after for a bunch of people before trauma, I guess some without trauma, and be able to have that kind of apples to apples comparison. And of course, that's not how the world works. We don't go around measuring people in those ways or knowing who necessarily is going to experience trauma.
No, that's true. I think, and to give credit to the early researchers, I think, a lot of the work that was done on post-traumatic growth was done with the, based on the limitation that it is hard to collect data prospectively. So collect data before and after a traumatic event. It can be done. So there are researchers who will track large numbers of people over a period of time with the assumption or understanding that a certain proportion of those people will experience a significant adverse or stressful or traumatic life event. But these studies are expensive. Another issue is that typically you wouldn't expect people to exhibit changes in response to an adverse event soon after the event. So if you want to look for evidence of post-traumatic growth, ideally you should be tracking people for 1, 2, 3 years. And unfortunately, the vast majority of prospective studies, so these are studies that have been well designed, don't go for maybe more than 1 year post-trauma. So I think, doing this work is hard, in part because you need large samples, but also you need to track people for long enough after the event before you know whether people have changed.
As you study people and try to overcome these obstacles, what are you learning? What are you learning about how people come out of these traumas and whether they grow, however we want to define that, and how they suffer?
That's a good question. So I think there are a couple of things. First of all, I think our understanding of the types of life events that can lead to personal growth probably needs to expand a little bit. So much of the early work in post-traumatic growth was done with the understanding that it was trauma or traumatic life events that led to personal growth. And I think the intuition behind this was that there's something impactful about a traumatic event that would lead to changes in your sense of meaning, how you make sense of the world, and reconciling the discrepancy between your pre-existing worldview and the event allows you then to grow from the event. I think from the work that we have been doing, from work that some of my colleagues in Germany and other countries have been doing, it's clear now that we need to be clearer about what characteristic of the event leads to personal change. So it might be that how impactful the event is what is critical, rather than whether the event is positive or negative. So to take one example, there is research showing that for certain dimensions, so for example, self-esteem or feeling that you have a sense of mastery over your environment, positive events seem to predict positive changes and not negative events. So I think we need to maybe reconsider our intuition that it's only trauma that can lead to personal growth. It might be some other characteristic that's doing the job.
Aranda Jayawakrema is with us, associate professor in the Department of Psychology at Wake Forest University. We're talking about his research on the impact of trauma and adverse experiences and whether we actually grow from those experiences, whether the idea that whatever doesn't kill us makes us stronger really works. Aranda, you've written that one concern you have that if we assume that, okay, a trauma, an adverse event is going to make us a better person down the road is what happens when somebody goes through that trauma and doesn't feel like they're growing? Are they going to feel like they're doing something wrong?
Yeah, no, I think that's a challenge. And I think it's especially a challenge when you live in a cultural context where there's an assumption that you're supposed to grow from a stressful life event, right? So, you know, this idea that what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, right? It's, you know, it's a quote from Nietzsche, the German philosopher, but it's also, you know, a lyric in popular songs, right? So Kelly Clarkson or Kanye West. And I do think when people talk about their traumatic experiences or the adverse experiences, they do talk about it in a way that acknowledges that they are supposed to learn something from it. So they always talk about a silver lining. Even if they're struggling in the wake of the event, they also will try and say something positive that's come out from it. So I do think there is what some researchers have called a master narrative around how we should talk about a growth for an adversity. In some cases, I think, especially for people who continue to struggle with the enduring impact of adversity, it can be an additional burden.
Is there a potential for using this as a tool if we see people using this narrative, maybe without thinking about it, of, how can I grow from this trauma, from this adverse event? Is this something that can be used in therapy for someone to learn to tell and retell their stories in a way that actually helps them grow?
So potentially, yes. So, you know, one project that I've worked on with my colleague Anne-Marie Rupke and others is developing an intervention that tries to teach some of the skills around making sense or making meaning from the event, thinking about what your goals are, your values are in the wake of an adverse event, and then using those insights to try and grow from the event. So we did develop an intervention that we tested a few years ago, and we published our first set of findings last year, and the intervention showed some promise for reducing symptoms of depression in the short term. We did not find a positive impact of the intervention on post-traumatic growth. We think this is in part because of the size of our sample, because we had to keep participants in the study for more than a year, and we had, you know, attrition over the course of the year. But what we're doing now is that we're sort of reworking our intervention, adding some new modules, some new components, and our plan is to test it in a sample at some point next year. Now, I will say one of the challenges of these types of interventions, and this is something that we're very mindful of, is that it's important to be careful about when you introduce this idea, right, of meaning making or making sense of the event. Because if you don't do it at the appropriate time, it might be offensive to people, right? And mm-hmm. to go back to what we said earlier, you don't want people to feel like there's an obligation on expectation that they need to grow from the event. So I think we have to be careful about when we intervene. It's also true, and this is, you know, what I've learned from talking to counselors and social workers who worked with war-affected populations in Sri Lanka. Having these additional tools as a counselor, when you work with people who have gone through, you know, pretty substantial trauma, can be helpful. Because I think at the right time, people do want to know, right, about not only how they can deal with, you know, the struggles, the suffering that resulted from the trauma, but also think about ways in which they can move on from it. And I think thinking about making sense of the event, potentially growing for the event, are very helpful tools that counselors can use as long as they're used at the right time.
I wonder, there's a wide range of things people might think of when they think of an adverse experience. It can be something that everybody deals with, you know, a bad breakup, a professional setback, all the way to, you know, surviving a terrorist attack, or as you say, people living in a war zone. Do similar lessons apply, or is, you know, a bad life moment different than something really traumatic like that?
That's a great question. So I think, you know, it's important to consider how different types of life events are going to impact you. Now, it's true that in part because a lot of early work on post-traumatic growth was done by clinical psychologists who were interested in the impact of clinical trauma. A lot of the early work was done on the assumption that it was only clinical trauma that could be a catalyst for personal growth. I think that's probably too restrictive. I think we do need to look at the types of events beyond clinical traumas that can impact you. I think one thing to think about is to what extent does the event change your subsequent environment? Because I think what might be happening is that for people who grow in the wake of adversity, it's because there's something about the event that's scaffolding your ability to perform different actions. So it may not be enough simply to look at a single event, but we also need to look at how that event changes how that person interacts with the environment subsequently. So just to give one example, there's some evidence that one way in which people do grow in the wake of adversity is in terms of social relationships. So multiple studies have shown that in the months and years following an adverse event, people do experience positive changes in the quality of personal relationships. And what might be happening there is that, especially if you've gone through some type of event that other people can relate to, so for example, if you're the victim of a natural disaster and you know other people have been through that, right? It's possible that you can, you know, commiserate on what's happened to you. You can show, you can express empathy for what the other person is going through. You have people who understand what you've been through. So there's something about the nature of that event and the presence of other people in the wake of that event that can help foster change.
Well, and that sounds like in our last few moments, at least one take-home lesson maybe someone listening who's been through a traumatic event can have is to reach out, make those connections, especially when possible with someone who's been through something similar. Is that right?
No, that is completely correct. I think I think we need to do a lot more research on to understand how trauma, adversity impacts our personality and can potentially lead to personal growth. But I do think, yeah, if there's one lesson that we can take away from the existing research is that, yes, connecting with loved ones, finding people who you can talk to about the event, that's one way in which you can definitely, you know, you can potentially recover and maybe even grow from the adverse experience.
Aranda, thank you so much for joining us and sharing this with us today.
You're very welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
Aranda Jayawardena is an associate professor in the Department of Psychology at Wake Forest University. We talked to him about his research into whether and how people can grow from adversity and trauma.